The content here is for informational purposes only and should not be taken as medical advice. Please consult a healthcare professional with any medical questions and concerns.
If you are experiencing an emergency or need immediate help, call 911. In no way does listening, reading, emailing, or interacting on social media with our content establish a therapeutic relationship.
I just get so angry. It's hard to sit still.
I don't want to be this way.
My brain just feels all scrambled.
We want to start with a huge thank you to our listeners out there. We recently achieved a big goal. We have had more than 20,000 downloads of the Scrambled podcast. So we thank you. That happened a little earlier in this year, and we're very elated that you guys are liking this and sharing it and continuing that conversation.
That is awesome. 20,000. That's a pretty big number.
Yeah. I mean, I download, you know, an episode every time it launches, but not multiple.
So you're at least 72 of those.
Yes. Downloads. 72 okay. of those downloads are mine.
Okay. Well, it's good. It's good to know.
Yet I'm in addition, you're not downloading them. So
I don't know if I'm downloading them or not. I'm listening to them. Does that count?
I don't know.
Does that count as a download? I don't really know how these things work yet.
I don't know. I subscribe.
Okay, so 142 of these episodes or something. Did I just do math?
No, you didn't.
Okay. Good that we're clearing that. Well, I have good news too.
Okay.
We've had a couple of really nice reviews on social media, and I thought maybe we could share those, kind of shout out to those folks who took the time to say some good words. So we have Hope, who said, just found this podcast on Spotify. Absolutely love it. Thank you, Hope. We appreciate you taking the time to make that review. And then Lindsay says, if you're in doubt, your child is suffering, just listen. It's almost as if you interviewed our family. I'm so grateful for your knowledge, experience, and encouragement. Thank you for normalizing not being normal.
So fantastic. Very good reviews.
Yeah. We appreciate you taking the time to do that. It helps us, you know that it's worth it to keep going and keep creating new episodes. So
absolutely. It also gets new eyes and ears on the podcast because it moves up the charts, so to speak, or whatever. So, all right, well, we're going to take all that and turn it on its head because this is episode 72. No, you're not ruining your children. At least we don't think so.
But Chad, I kind of think I am sometimes.
Well, I think that's why we wanted to do this episode is because we've talked so much in past episodes about you do not get your return on investment, your ROI, for years with raising kids because you do your best and everyone does their best and everyone messes up probably daily. And so you always wonder, like, is my child going to turn out to be a productive member of society and succeed? We just don't know. So we thought we'd say, you know, with the parenting advice and stuff that we give here around anxiety and other conditions and stuff, that we want to know that we're doing the right thing. So how do we do that?
Well, I kind of feel like at least this is what something that's helped me is realizing that, like, questioning is part of the journey, right? Like if you are so confident that you're doing everything right and you're not making any mistakes, I would almost bet money if I had any, that you are not doing as well as you think. Like I truly believe that going, oh, could I have handled that differently? Or am I doing that right? Or is there another way that we should be thinking about this? I think that those are questions that we should be asking all the way through the process, right? Mm-hmm. I think when you stop asking questions and you stop wondering, I think we're more likely to make irreparable mistakes or do things that are unintentionally harmful to our kids. So I think step one is going, it's okay to have questions about it and to wonder and to never really know for sure if you're hitting the mark.
Right. Well, we are toward the end of April now, and this is our first episode we've done in 2024 that's not about trauma, but I'm going to tie it in because, I mean, obviously there's obvious ways parents can traumatize their kids, but even like the little traumas we talked about earlier in the year, I mean, I would think every parent adds a little trauma to their kids.
I think so. I mean, okay. I think if you have, that was so high pitched, you really nailed that. But I think like we have so many opportunities for things to go wrong in life, right? And once you bring a kid into the picture, there's even more challenges. And so, you know, our mental health can affect them, the environment that they grow up in, the, you know, global circumstances that occur. I mean, of course, all of our children just experienced a pandemic, which, you know, We got through it, which is cool, but it doesn't mean it didn't have a negative impact on some aspects of development for kids across the country. And so there's a never-ending supply of challenges and obstacles and things that can get in the way. And as parents, we're not at our best all the time. In fact, oftentimes I argue our kids kind of get the crumbs, right? Like they get what's left at the end of the day. They get, we're tired after work, or we've been fighting our financial issues all day, or we've been, you know, out dealing with the public or whatever the situation is. We get home and our kids may not get the best version. And I think that that kind of is standard in a lot of families. And so it's just, it's really hard to be good at it all the time. And I think we just have to kind of acknowledge that there's a lot of obstacles, a lot of opportunities for little traumas. But I got some tips. So even though, like, I think having questions all the way through the process is normal. Mm-hmm. And even if you do everything right, there's still going to be traumas. There's still going to be things that come up that aren't ideal, right? There are some things you can do as a parent that kind of help keep those things in check and help maintain a healthy perspective and give your child, you know, the things they need in order to continue on beyond the hardships.
Sure. And before you continue, I mean, might I also add the argument that we get the crumbs of our children. If they're at school all day and going through, you know, relationships through peers with teaching, different things of school, the homework and schoolwork and all that, then we kind of get what's left over there. And so that seems like a bad concoction of a lot of crumbs.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, I guess I said it in like 9,000 words, but I could sum it up and say that, like, it's hard to be in a family and there's just always things that we're going to have to face and challenges we're going to have to overcome. So do you feel like you're ruining your kids 7 or 8 times a day?
More like 6.
Just 6 times?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you're ahead of the curve.
and thinking about this episode, though, I did think of this and it made me feel better, was that to me, the true test is when you're not around your child and they're around other people. And so mm-hmm. when I hear compliments about my kids, I go, okay, I'm not ruining them. They are mm-hmm. doing what we say to do. They might not act it and show it to us 100% of the time at home, mm-hmm. nor we they. But if they're doing it when they're not around us, that's the win. And so as a parent then who's around a lot of other kids, if I can compliment the other kid to that parent, I try to do it because I know how important it is to me to hear good things that your kids are doing.
And that's an excellent point. That's something I hadn't thought of. But like ultimately the only yardstick that we get is that outward behavior that other people see. And maybe I'm jumping too far ahead here, but I think that like we are jaded a little bit when it comes to our kids, like our own worry about their behavior, our own, like, are we doing it right? All that stuff kind of weighs in. And so we're going to perceive things differently than other people anyway. And mm-hmm. I can remember my kids being in, you know, kindergarten, preschool, and me just being so frantic and anxious about all the things that were going on. And then their teacher would be like, oh, they're such good sharers. They're doing so well. And, you know, and I'd be like, huh?
Do you have them mixed up with somebody else?
Yeah, I think you're talking about the wrong kid. Like, that's not what I'm seeing. But I think it's really hard for us to evaluate in the midst of parenting how parenting is going. And so we do have to kind of rely on that, the feedback of others. And that's why I have always said it's so important if a teacher comes to you and says, this is a concern, take it seriously.
Listen,
because they know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know.
They're around and your kids arguably more than you are during the school year.
Yes. For sure. And so, you know, and they care and they want the best for them too. So listening is important.
Nikki, are you familiar with the movie How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
Yes.
Okay. So it was out. I saw earlier this year. It's 20 years old this year, which is, yeah, exactly. Hard to swallow. I wish you could see the facial expression, but you can't because it's a podcast.
That was horrifying.
So I'm thinking if we take that theme of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, we can make like How to Raise Your Kids in 10 Steps. And go.
Yeah. Easy steps. That's exactly it. Yes. No, but you're right. Like I've compiled for you 10 things that if you kind of keep those in mind, it's going to help you with all the aforementioned little traumas and unexpected things and global issues and environmental issues and all the other stuff we kind of just went on and on about. These things can help kids just kind of continue on and be resilient and help you have good relationships with your kids so that you're not as worried about ruining them as the title suggests.
So here we go. You want to say number one?
Yeah, I'm not going to do this, Chad, but I want to make it a guessing game and have you try to guess each one. And the reason that I want to do that is because it's not new information. I mean, I'll tell you that now, like don't turn the episode off or move on to the, like, keep listening.
It's a good reminder.
Because I hope to kind of frame it in a different way and make it very usable. But these are things you've heard before.
See if I can pass. Kristen.
Okay. So what do you think the first thing is? Like, what's the first thing you can do with your kids to kind of, you know, stay on the right side of things?
The The first thing I'm thinking of is check your emotions at the door, because we talk about that a lot.
Yes. And actually, that kind of accounts for a couple different things that I've identified as things. So one is like modeling the responses you want to see from your kids, right? So it's so hard to do. But if you do something over and over and over again, they pick it up, right? They watch what you do. They say what you say. They do
sponges.
What you do. One of mine may have used an inappropriate word yesterday, and it was very difficult for me to reprimand, because do you know who else says that word? Do you know
your,
who else?
Your hubs?
No, it's me. I said the word. So anyway, the point is they listen. They do what you do. They see you, and you're like the biggest influence for the longest time.
Yeah.
And so if you respond to stress in a way that's healthy, they're more likely to do that. If you handle your frustration in a good way, they're more likely to do that. If you take care of your body and you manage your mental health well, these are all things that they're going to see you do, and they're going to learn from that. So to kind of stay on the right side of all the hard stuff that happens in parenting, model what you want to see. If it's important to you to see your child be respectful, be respectful.
And off of that, going back to the emotions at the door, like I've seen this happen in my family, because before we knew what anxiety was, we would see a little misbehavior. And then so my wife or I or both sometimes would escalate very, very quickly. And once we learned through therapy and different techniques of just having a casual conversation, even though inside you are, but if you're just putting on a brave face, then they tend to bring their escalation down. I've seen it with my own eyes that happens. Yep. So I like that model.
Model what you want to see. Yep. And honestly, this, I mean, I won't get preachy here on you, Chad, but like I apply this in my life outside of the home too. Like if I'm at work and people are misbehaving and, you know, folks are not using their manners or whatever, I'm going to respond in the way that I want them to respond to me. I'm going to teach others how to treat me. And we can do that with our kids. We can teach them how to treat us and how to treat others simply by, you know, doing a lot of that. I see my kids say thank you a lot in public, and I am going to own that one. I did that.
Good.
That's something I did, because I do that a lot. And I mean, they might roll their eyes sometimes. I do it too much, but ultimately they're picking up the right thing. So anyway, number one, model the responses you want to see.
Okay.
Can you guess any others? Just anything else that comes to you that you're like, I know this is on the list.
Oh boy, I've given zero thought to this. It kind of goes to the same thing. You see the shirts all over the place of just be kind. It costs nothing to be kind. I try to live that way. And I want my kids to emulate that too. And sometimes they're not, but I think it just be kind.
Yeah. And it's actually on there twice. Be kind to your children, right? Like if treat them with kindness, you're treating them how to treat others with kindness. Mm-hmm. And be kind to yourself. And we've talked about that in different forms, you know, over 72 episodes or whatever we're on. Is this 72?
This is 72. Yep.
Yep. Okay. So 72 times we've probably made reference to being kind to yourself as a parent, having you know, given yourself some grace and being patient with yourself, because you're not supposed to have it all figured out. But really, truly, being kind to yourself teaches your kids to be kind to themselves. Being kind to your kids teaches your kids to be kind to other people and to you. And so if you lead with kindness, you're going to get kindness. Now, there are people in the world, and I know this will be hard to believe, Chad, but there are people in the world who aren't very kind, and your kids are going to encounter them. Right. So this is, you know, kind of like a segue there, but like you want to teach them to be kind, but you want to teach them how to deal with unkindness in a way, you know, that doesn't get them in trouble and cause them problems. And that's, I'm realizing more and more that kindness doesn't solve everything. You have to have some backups for when kindness doesn't create more kindness.
Ooh. Okay. Like what?
Well, I don't know. I'm still working on that one.
Okay. Cause I'm, sarcasm is my tool of choice, but. Sometimes.
And that can work. I mean, you know, humor, sarcasm, ignoring, letting it roll off of you. I mean, there's lots of things we can teach our kids to do when other people aren't so kind.
And holding grudges. Grade A expert at that.
You can do that, but I just want a disclaimer, that's not on the list of things to do to help
kids. It must be number 11. Must be.
All right. Well, appendix A.
I do often tell my kids. I do tell my kids when they see it, because they'll call me out on it. And I said, do not be like me. Like, that is probably my least favorite quality about myself, is my great skill of holding a grudge. So I don't like that about me. So I'm trying to teach them, like, don't do that. And,
you got to model not doing it, because you can say,
I can't.
Don't do that. It's like me telling my kid not to say swear words. And then I say swear words as I'm telling her not to say swear words, Chad.
Yeah.
Like, she's not learning from that. I have to model not using swear words. Oh, it's so hard.
It is hard. See, we are ruining our kids.
We are.
This episode's over. Turn it off, unsubscribe. There we go.
It's hopeless. Yeah. Okay, so to sum up, kindness, I mean, you know, when you bring an element of that to your interactions with your kids, and as you teach them how to interact with the world, I think it gives them a leg up. I think it helps them personally and professionally. I am certain there are people out there who disagree with that, because I've met an awful lot of people that don't lead with kindness.
Yeah.
So another thing that we can do consistently that is going to make a difference with our kids, and this one might actually be the hardest one on the list for me.
Okay.
Despite the fact that I have chosen a profession that includes a great deal of listening, I am terrible at listening to my children.
Oh, thank you for saying that, because
I am terrible at it. But listening is so important. You think my
what?
Microphone
Sorry.
Set up if they whisper? Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because I have recently been confronted by my kids saying, like, you never listen to me. And I'm like, well, but I do. And they'll tell me things that I, in fact, was not listening. And then they have to tell me 2 and 3 times. And it's aggravating, because it's aggravating to me when they don't listen to me. Right.
Yep.
So when they flip it on that. So that's something that I'm working on. But I got to think there that because I've showcased a nice communicative household, hopefully, that we're able to talk about that, that my kids feel comfortable coming to me and be like, you know what? You're not listening to me and it's making me mad. So.
Yep. And when I get that feedback, like my first instinct is to be like, well, I can't help. I don't want to listen, you know, like somehow defend. But it's much easier to just sit and engage and listen than to like be in the power struggle and like watch your child like withdraw from you and you know, go through that not wanting to tell you things because you don't listen.
Can we talk about the difference between listening and hearing? Because you can sit there and your child's talking and you're just going, nice. That's not listening. You're hearing them, but you're not listening to what they're saying.
Yeah.
So how do you listen?
Like active empathetic listening. And I have already told you I'm not good at this because I'm distracted, right? Like I've always got something demanding my attention, whether it's a dog or a poorly behaved cat or my phone or the doorbell or whatever. There's always something that needs something.
Right.
And so when my kids are trying to tell me this story, and I don't know if you know this about junior high students, Chad, you might have a little experience with it, but when they tell a story, like they don't get to the point very quickly, right? There's a whole, like, I heard a funny thing the other day, like, turns out it's rude to poke someone and say, skip intro, when they start telling a really long story. And it made me laugh.
You found that out?
I saw a thing that said that and it made me laugh. Because oftentimes when I'm listening to kids tell really lengthy stories about what happened with their friends, I lose focus, right? And it's like the same story I heard yesterday, you know, but like a slightly different punchline. And so it can be really tough. And
and it might be something
about how to do it, but I'm telling you how I can't do it. This isn't right.
But it might be something you don't really care about.
Yes.
So that makes it hard to listen, but it's so important. And again, not great at this. My kids are calling me out on it almost daily, but it's so important to listen, because whatever they're telling you is important to them. Mm-hmm. It might not be to you, but it is to them. And on the flip side, you've got your background with psychology and behavior health. My background is in communication. You're teaching them to be effective communicators.
Yes.
You're teaching them, okay, this story was, you know, 30 minutes and it could have been 45 seconds.
Yes.
They're picking up on how to conversate with people.
Which is also an important skill. So truly actively listening, and you know, you can teach them the skills along the way to make their point a little faster. But ultimately, if you're interested in the things that they're interested in, it's just going to be easier for everybody involved. But that means putting your phone down. And it means setting your work crap aside and saying, you know, this is what I'm going to do, right? I'm going to talk to my kid about their day, or I'm going to talk, you know, and we should be grateful, because there comes a point. I mean, you know, when you get those older teens, there comes a point. They don't want to tell you stuff. Mm-mm. They don't want to talk to you about their day. They're not interested. So when your kid is talking to you, listen. And sometimes listening is a little more involved. You have to listen like between what they're saying, and you have to listen and notice other things. And that leads to my next idea, which is to just be constantly curious about your children.
Yeah, I was going to interrupt you and bring that up and be like, a good point of listening is to ask questions.
Yeah. Just be curious. Ask about the stuff they're interested in. I've got a kid that's suddenly into crocheting, which is something I've never done in my life. And so I don't want to learn, but like I'm interested in it because of her. And so, you know, be curious about the things they're curious about. But curiosity goes a step further in that, like, when you see behaviors, like this can start when they're very little. Be curious about the source of the behavior, right? Don't get frustrated with the behavior. Don't be mad at the behavior. Don't self-loathe over the behavior. Be curious about it. I wonder what this is telling me. Mm-hmm. I wonder what this is about. I wonder what this pattern means, right? When you can take kind of a curious approach to something that worries you a little bit or that you're not sure what to do with, it's just easier to not be mad. And it's easier to look for possible explanations and solutions. So be curious about your kids, be curious in conversations with them, and be curious about what you're seeing in their behavior from day one, because that sense of wonder and, I wonder what this is about, that is so much more effective than leading with frustration and anger.
And I think I've said this before in past episodes, a good interview technique is using hows and whys. So somebody says something and be like, well, why did you respond that way? Why do you think they did this? How did that make you feel? Those tend to get you more, well, in my business, it was sound bites that got you the 12-second thing that's going to be on TV, but that gets a little bit more, that just helps you listen as opposed to the what's, the when's, and whatever the other one is. I don't know.
You're supposed to know that.
Yeah. It's been out of the business a while. I forgot that.
Well, the next couple of things are all really kind of connected, but I'm going to try to make it clear that they are each separate items. First is like learn from your mistakes. Mm. You expect your kids to learn from theirs, and so learn from your own. When something doesn't go well and you don't feel good about the outcome of an interaction with your child, you probably didn't handle it super well, and like think about what you would do differently. You can literally rehearse it in your brain, and then the next time this similar thing comes up, because trust me, it will come up over and over again, you'll have a chance to redo it, right? And so learning from your mistakes goes a long way to prevent, you know, future like unpleasant conversations. And related to that, like if you catch in the moment that you didn't handle it well, pausing and say, you know what? I didn't handle that well. Mm-hmm. And I'd like a chance to redo it. Could I do it? I'm sorry that I took that route. I'm sorry that I raised my voice. I'm sorry that I lost my cool. Could I try that again? Could I do a redo? You know, that can be very powerful, because it's not only, you know, helping you to feel better about the interaction with your child. It's giving your child that experience of like, hey, mistakes happen and we own them. And then we start over, or we do it again, or we try over. And so learning from your mistakes, doing it better each time. You know, if you don't like how you feel after you've had this interaction with your kid, figure out what you're going to do the next time and just keep improving upon that, and then offer opportunities to redo. And then related to that, apologize, right? Apologize to your child when you know you've made a mistake. Don't apologize for discipline, right? Don't apologize for, you know, if I tell my child to do something and if not completing that thing means they're not going to have access to the phone, I'm not apologizing for having the consequence, right? That's a natural consequence of the choice that they made, and they knew what their options were. But apologize when you know you've done it wrong, when you know you lost your cool, when you know you took it too far, or your frustration took over, right? Those things go a long way to teach your kids how to do that with other people.
Do you think it's okay to ask them, like, you know, once you say like, I'm sorry, I raised my voice, I reacted that way, how would you have rather seen me act? Or how, you know, because I'll say to my kids all the time, be like, okay, next time this happens, how should you react? Is it okay to turn it on them and be like, how do you want to see me react the next time this happens?
I think that's an awesome way to do it, because you can get a lot of feedback about what they need. Because we've talked about this before, like the kid you know, wished for, the kid that you are really good at parenting may not be the kid you have. And so them saying, hey, actually, if you did this when this happened, I would handle it a lot better, or it would be more helpful to me. You know, they're going to have some wild and crazy ideas sometimes, but their feedback counts.
And that's not a toss of power to where you're like giving them kind of the power to control the situation?
I mean, I certainly think there are situations that could be viewed that way. But I think if you are recognizing, hey, this took a wrong turn, I don't feel good about it, I want to support my kid, I want to heal from this, I want them to heal from this, I don't think there's anything wrong with going, hey, you know, like, let's work on this together. What can I do different? What can you do different? And I think there's that give take. Like if it's not a power struggle where you're relinquishing all control over it, but you're engaging them in a conversation about what could be better, I think that helps. And none of this stuff can be done when you're like in the heat of the moment and angry, right? Like this is the stuff that, you know, you get to, and as you work on skills and, you know, manage your own stuff a little bit better, it happens faster.
Yeah. So that's in talking with them, you're going to ultimately probably connect with them on a different level.
Yeah. And funny enough, that is the next thing on the list, is just finding opportunities to connect. It's like the writing's on the wall. But yeah, like opportunities to connect go a long way, because the more connected to you your kids feel, and this is at any age, whether they're, you know, very little or teenagers, if they're feeling connected to you, you're just going to get more cooperation. They're going to be in a state of mind where they are more open to learning. They're more open to problem solving. They're more open to just, you know, good behavior. I don't even like to use that phrase anymore, but if they feel connected, they're more likely to feel safe. And if they feel safe, you're less likely to see fight or flight responses. And so it's just, it's a nice domino effect.
And you're also setting up the, hopefully the trail that even if they're younger, once they get older and they get into more uncomfortable situations, they feel comfortable coming to you because you've laid that base of trust.
There's lots of ways to connect too. Like you can get creative with that. Sometimes you can play silly games when they're little, reading books when they're little, taking walks, doing things in nature. You know, there's so many things you can do. But as they get older, it gets more challenging. And when you see a teenager that would rather be in their room on their phone with their friend or boyfriend or whatever, it can be a little bit harder to feel connected. So you have to get creative. And maybe it's let's go for a drive, right? Let's take a walk up to the, you know, gas station and get some candy. I don't know. I don't know what kids like. I'm still working this out, Jed. I'm still workshopping how to connect with teenagers. So give me a minute.
One thing that I have done before, and I said to my kids a couple months ago, I was like, I want to get back to this to where it's like I go and I have lunch or something with just my son. And then I want to go with just my daughter and just get that one-on-one time because it's fun that way. And you do get to connect on a different level and you're not fighting. They're not fighting for your attention because it's all there.
And so much of what they do when they're young that like we might look at as like problem behavior is really about attention seeking and connecting. They're lacking a connection and they need one. And so finding ways to intentionally connect as early as you can in your child's life and then continuing that and don't give up on that, that helps offset all the other challenges that you might face. And the very last idea that I have for kind of getting through the ongoing question of, am I ruining my kids, is forgiveness. And it's forgiveness of you for your mistakes and your errors along the way, because I promise you're going to make them. You're going to try real hard, but you're going to make them anyway. And forgiving your kids, forgiving them for not being perfect, forgiving them for being different from you, forgiving them for, you know, puking all over you, forgiving them for ruining, you know, the carpet. There's some things that are harder to forgive than others, admittedly, but no, just truly realizing that it's all part of the human experience and nobody is perfect. And if we can let go of that and not hold onto those grudges, Chad, things feel better. They're easier.
Absolutely. I agree. Well, as always, we thank you for listening to this podcast and any of the episodes you feel like sharing for parents who could benefit from, even if they don't have any kind of anxiety or ADHD or anything. Sometimes this is just good parental advice. So feel free to share it. When we come back in a couple of weeks, we're going to kick off another series. This is just a two-part series. We're going to focus on OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, a couple of really cool guests to bring you and some great information to share. As always, our goal in starting this podcast was to start a conversation, and that conversation continues with you.